You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Sarah Rule's latest play, Stage Kiss, is about exactly that and so much more. Two actors who shared a romantic past are cast opposite each other in a revival of a 1930s melodrama that involves a lot of stage kissing. They, and when I say they, I am referring to the characters in Sarah Rule's Stage Kiss, the play we're watching, not the characters those characters are playing in the plays within the play, which we are also watching. At any rate, they begin to have a problem separating illusion from reality, and the passion they begin simulating on stage spills over into real life. Stage Kiss is a tribute to theater, to imagination, to first loves, to mature relationships. It is at the Playwrights Horizon on West 42nd Street and is running until April 6th. I'm very pleased it has brought Sarah Rule back to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
So have you written many stage kisses in your previous works?
I think there has been a kiss in almost every play I've ever written. And I think in a way that's what inspired me, was going to rehearsal and watching actors kiss in my plays and thinking, what have I perpetrated? And what is this for them? What is it for them that this is their job, having to kiss each other?
Well, it's make-believe, and I've spoken to actors who have appeared in sex scenes in movies the first time they meet. And they say, well, you know, you're an actor, you do it. Mm-hmm. But we also hear about a lot of romances, both when there are movies, but also because of people doing a long run on a stage play.
Well, yeah, because really good actors, I think, really project themselves into the reality. And I don't know that there's such a huge physiological difference between what they're going through often and the real thing. So it's sort of the deeply professional, compartmentalized ones who can leave at the end of the night, go home, and separate the two things.
Well, you've said that kissing on stage is like urinating on stage. Did you mean that it's faked in both cases?
I actually meant that it's real. I mean, I think in the past, kissing and urinating might have been faked, but in the kind of post-naturalistic world that we live in, you really pee when you pee and you really kiss when you kiss.
Have you ever seen any stage kisses turning into inappropriate offstage romances? And what are your plays?
Oh, yeah. Yes. I don't think I can really speak of them, but sure, it happens all the time.
Well, part of the art of casting is finding a chemistry between the actors. So to some degree, even when you're casting the play, you're participating in that problem.
Yeah.
You're creating that
problem.
You're
participating in capitalizing on observing and kind of stirring the pot of, I suppose.
Well, what were you looking for when you cast this play?
Oh, well, I feel so lucky in Jessica Hecht and Dominic Famusa. I'd worked with Dom before in Passion Play, and I hadn't worked with Jessica before. And they both really have an amazing ability to be liquid and transparent and real in the real scenes, which was really important so that there'd be a contrast between the style of the play and within the play, and then when you're watching what passes for reality. And so Jess has done such a variety of things in her career, and she can pop in and out of a 1930s sensibility back to reality with sort of absolute liquidity, and so can Dom. And it made for such a fun rehearsal process, because often you wouldn't even know what you were looking at. And I was always tempted to put things in from rehearsal because what I was watching was so delicious.
And they also really adept at physical comedy.
Yes, they are. And I hadn't necessarily even realized that both of them were so virtuosic.
There's a point in the play where he is on crutches and he still has to do a love scene kind of in a Cary Grant style.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to give too much away, but that's true. And there's also Michael Cyril Crichton is such a physical comedian, and he's just been a delight to work with. And
he plays all the understudy parts,
yeah,
and other parts. Well, the play starts with the main female character auditioning after a long time away from the theater, because she was involved in a more conventional life, raising a family, is part of the explanation for her blurring the lines between stage and offstage life that she's kind of out of practice?
I think that's right. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think it's also that she runs smack into this person who had been formative in her life. She runs into someone who she loved at a time in her life, you know, her early 20s, when love makes a real imprint. So in a way, the play is an exploration of what would happen if you ran into a first love who maybe was meant to be a first love and nothing more, but suddenly you're confronted with falling in love with them again at a later time in your life.
Although they talk about thinking of each other a lot over the years.
Yeah.
It's also that the life of a wife and mother can be routine, even if its pleasures and the return of passion, the self-involvement that come with that can be transporting.
It's something I think a lot about, having three kids myself, how the domestic life, Simone de Beauvoir used to talk about this, that it's not linear. It's every day you repeat the same thing, and there's a kind of Sisyphean quality to, you know, washing the vomit off the bed sheets of the latest child who's vomited and then doing it again. And so it's a very non-narrative kind of life in a way. It doesn't have an arc, a long marriage with children.
But actors often are asked about doing the same lines again and again. In fact, you even address that in this play.
Yeah, that's an interesting tension. It's true. In a way, theater acting is all about repetition and how to make it real day after day, in the same way that marriage is about repetition and kind of finding the joy in the moment-to-moment experience.
Although actors tell me that the longer the run, the more they understand their character.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't get boring because things keep on deepening.
Mm-hmm. That's really true. It's always extraordinary to watch a play at the end of a run when you haven't seen it since opening night.
Has having children changed your relationship to work and to the theater?
I think so. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, I guess. But it's made it much harder to write and much harder to get out of the house. I have a collection of essays coming out in the fall about theater and motherhood to some extent, and the difficulties of writing in the context of having many children.
So what do you do? When they're of school age, of course, mm-hmm. you have the rest of the day that they're away. But before then, like when you're changing diapers and
right.
stuff, and baby wants to be held all the time, what do you do?
I mean, really, you haven't lived. I have twins and I have a 7-year-old, and I think really you haven't lived until you're changing one baby's diaper while the other one vomits on your shin. What do you do? I mean, I have a babysitter, but I have a little office at home. But I remember at one point my son came into my office and said, "Mom, can I poop here?" He was standing right at my elbow, and he said it so tenderly, and I just thought, oh, why do I bother?
My guest is Sarah Rule, whose latest play is Stage Kiss. It's at the Playwrights Horizon on West 42nd Street. And the run is until April 6th. Is that a hard and fast thing?
I think so. I think they have to get the next play in.
That's one of the problems working in theaters like that. On the other hand, because the theaters are, it seems to me, a perfect size, they're not too big, not too mm-hmm. small. They are just right for an intimate play like this. You'd want to be in this kind of theater rather than one of the huge Broadway houses.
Oh, it's been wonderful working at Playwrights Horizons. It's so intimate, and the audiences have been so smart and warm and sort of ready to laugh.
When you were writing this, did you talk to actors about their experiences of kissing on stage?
I absolutely did. I feel I can't reveal my sources, but I absolutely did.
Did they have similar responses?
Did they?
Or did they see this as a technical problem, or did they see this as, because as you they get into their roles, did they see this as something they have to cope with on a very real personal level?
I think there are two kinds of actors, those who approach it technically and those who literally fall in love with whoever they're in a play with.
Well, if you ask actors about crying on stage, you get all kinds of tricks about how you look like you're crying or remembering some past terrible experience. Some of them can cry on cue. Others really have to work on it. But if you want a kissing scene to look real, perhaps you're also thinking about some other great experience in your life, doing a sense memory thing.
I wonder, and I haven't asked the actors. I've given them absolute privacy around that. I'm curious. But there were hilarious moments in rehearsal where, you know, the director did have to get in, right, you know, and say, oh, actually, this one I think is one with tongue.
Well, there were old stories about how Danny Kaye would eat a lot of onions before a kissing scene with Virginia Mayo to test her out, to see if she was a true pro. Marianne Moore described poetry as imaginary gardens with real toads in them. Do you think that can also be a definition of theater?
Yes, and I love her so much. I love her so much.
But this play is different from your others in terms of the structure, if not the theme. Also, you've done a lot of magic realism in the past. There are no talking stones and things like that in this play.
There are no talking stones. I think one of the things that's maybe different about the play is, I don't want to spoil the second act, but there's a play within the play in the second act that's highly hyper-real. And in some ways that was fun for me because I hate usually hyper-real plays. So it was fun to write one and to have a set with a ceiling in it, which usually I hate sets with ceilings because I think the theater is all about metaphor and imagination. So to put a ceiling on is to sort of enclose it. And I said, let's have a set with a ceiling on, you know, on this play within the play.
But in a way, you make it easier for the actors because it must be harder for an actor to justify turning into an almond as a result of sadness the way one of your characters does in Melancholy Play.
Who knows?
What happens with a play like that? Does the actor say, what's my motivation here?
Well, the actors who I love to work with wouldn't say that. And I think the actors who I love to work with have a very fluid ability to move back and forth between a certain kind of reality and a certain kind of illusion. And I think that's true in this play, too.
Your characters here are he and she. Was that important?
It was important for me not to name them because I felt like they wanted to have some slippage between the actors who were playing them and the performance. I wanted it to not feel performed so that, for example, when Jessica Hecht gives her headshot to the director in the audition scene, she's really giving her headshot to the director. It's not that she has some highly individuated other name who she's playing at.
Your character, he, says that people don't like watching other people kiss on stage. They just tolerate it. And he says that's different than in the movies.
Mm-hmm. I think that's true to an extent, that there's a degree of abstraction in the theater and a degree of metaphor, and that it's like in a comedy when people get married at the end, that it's more about resolution and a certain kind of satisfying symmetry than it is about voyeurism.
Well, you've done asked actors to do more intimate things in other plays, in the other room or the vibrator play. But here there is a lot of kissing. Mm-hmm. Do you ever count how many kisses there are?
I should count. I mean, Jessica really does, you know, an amazing job of kissing. I think everyone in the play she kisses at some point. I think everyone in the play does have a kiss at some point. So we've really been encouraging them to get their flu shots.
Well, what about the whole thing about play within a play? They each follow conventional rules of playwriting, but they're different. So I'm assuming you were having fun going back and forth between the two.
Oh, it was so fun. It was so fun to hold myself up and write parts of the plays within the play. I didn't actually...
Well, the plays within the play are bad plays.
They're so bad. It's wonderful permission to have as a writer to think, I'm just going to write a really bad play. I'm just going to be a hack writer for the moment. And I do love, though, plays from the 1930s and kind of grew up on them. So I have a great affection for them.
Well, the play in the second act, the play within the play, is I Loved You Before I Killed You, or Blurry. I'm not going to reveal what that's all about. But there are so many little funny lines in these things. For example, one I will reveal. he is asked to play the role with an Irish accent, and he says, Southern or Northern Ireland? And the director, without batting an eye, says, Northern Irish. So you're laughing at your own jokes.
Oh, that's terrible. I shouldn't laugh at my own joke. I'm laughing at your rendition.
But when you're writing these things, are you laughing as well?
I don't laugh to myself in the room, but we did a lot of laughing in rehearsal, and it was kind of heaven to come to work and laugh all day. And I felt sort of bereft when we opened because I couldn't come to work and laugh all day anymore.
Your play's dedication says, for actors and for first loves, and although both are celebrated in this play, shouldn't it also say, for husbands?
It does.
Oh.
It says, for actors, for first loves, and most of all, for my husband. I think at the end of the day, the play is a lot about marriage and how to sustain a marriage over time.
I wish we could talk more about it, but we've run out of time.
That was so fast. Thank you so much for having me.
Sarah Rule's play, Stage Kiss, is currently at Playwrights Horizon, which is on West 42nd Street, west of 9th Avenue. You can't miss the sign. And it's always a pleasure having you on our show. Thank
Likewise.
You so much for coming by.
Thank you.